It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Many of us might remember when a drugstore included a soda fountain, some household items, and an area dedicated to the dispensing of prescriptions. Times have changed, and your neighborhood pharmacy does a great deal more. Here to talk about the evolution of pharmacies is business contributor Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Rebecca Harris, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's nice to see you, Paul. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Good, good. And if you're not, you can go to a local pharmacy and they'll fix you right up, okay?
Exactly. Well, you know, overall, how have pharmacies and pharmacists changed?
So there's a couple of categories that we're seeing here. Drugstore chains have really become what pharmacies used to be, and they're seeing huge opportunities as millions of uninsured Americans are now picking up drug coverage next year. But what they're really seeing is a way to help patients stay on track with their medication, provide alternative venues for medical treatment. Some of it's even done virtually. So we're really seeing a clear trend from a pharmacy just being a dispensing-centric function to really providing a lot of services for our patients.
And I was talking about the concept of, you know, the old corner drugstore.
Yeah.
We all have romantic visions of what that used to be and what it meant. But now with drugstores being a part, like so many other businesses, of big chains, is that good or bad for consumers?
I think in some ways the advantages are you can do some one-stop shopping. So when you go to the drugstore, you can also get your milk, you can get chocolate, you can get juice, you can get energy bars. And so in terms of convenience, that means a lot. I think in the Pittsburgh area, we did our research, there are close to 350 pharmacies now, and that's a lot of pharmacies. I think also there's an opportunity at pharmacies for people to be treated in ways they might be more threatened to go to a doctor. So the pharmacists are now acting in some ways as really providing services like immunizations. Small medical centers are being set up in pharmacies. So if you're cold or you're sick, you can be actually seen by usually a nurse practitioner. That's pretty amazing.
And you can get things like a flu shot there,
flu,
right?
Flu shots, everything else. So when we look at pharmacists now, they're really employed in a lot of different places. They're in hospitals, they're in nursing homes, long care facilities, clinics, managed care companies. We see pharmacists in universities and government agencies. So it's not your traditional on the small corner pharmacy anymore.
I understand that both the months of August and October are big in the pharmacy world.
Tell us about it. So we're almost in October, and October is American Pharmacist Month. And the whole purpose of American Pharmacist Month is to draw attention to the work that pharmacists do to really celebrate the profession, sending out messaging by pharmacists. So what the American Pharmacist Association does is puts out a lot of tips so that pharmacists can really interact more with their constituents and really reach their community, how to get official recognition, how to use social media. It's an interesting concept. And then August was National Immunization Awareness Month. And as you know, immunizations are so critical. A lot of people don't realize that they're not for children anymore. I mean, they are certainly for children, but not just for children. They are really for all of us throughout our lifetime. And it takes a significant educational push to make sure that people get in and get their flu shots. They might need to have a pneumonia vaccine. There's a lot of different immunizations that are needed. And the National Immunization Awareness Month is really a means of bringing that to the public awareness.
Well, a lot of times people will go to their pharmacist and say, I'm having these symptoms. What do you recommend? So it goes with what you were saying earlier about the pharmacists usurping the role of the doctor.
Right. And a lot of times the pharmacists are really the ones also that know drug interactions. So if you have your history of the different medications that you know, they might even know the latest trends in the medications better than the doctors do, just because that is their job. So
which medications had the highest sales in 2012?
It's interesting. As we looked at this research, new generics entering the market have reached record highs with more than 80% market share as two major brands, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, Lipitor and Plavix, have lost their patents, which is really interesting now. So what we're seeing is many, many generics growing, and the sale of brands is really decreasing. So that's made a lot of opportunity for growth from certain areas that we hadn't seen before. In terms of the type of therapy, We're seeing drugs in the areas of antidepressants, seizure disorders, proton pump inhibitors. Those are the major categories of drugs that were also very high on the list. So
we're talking with Rebecca Harris, our business contributor. She's director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. What are pharmacy chains doing to make greater strides in becoming healthcare giants?
And when you look at some of these stores, they really are very large and very comprehensive. So I'm going to look at just three of the really big ones, CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and talk a little bit about what we're seeing. We're seeing huge media pushes. We're seeing electronic ordering. We're seeing pharmacy chains branching out really into healthcare services. Rite Aid has opened, they'll be opening 58 new stores across four markets, which will contain in-store clinics providing virtual doctor visits via a web camera. Now, that's really, really remarkable. Walgreens has formed three accountable care organizations with physician groups in Texas, Florida, and New Jersey, the first time a pharmacy chain has launched such alliances. And with CVS, they've enrolled 16 million people in an advisory program where pharmacists give two-minute conversations on how to take drugs that treat certain conditions. And so it's really an education of the customers. So I think that's pretty amazing. I think it's great for the consumers, really great for the consumers.
And I understand that pharmacies are rolling out these points programs.
Now, you can get points for everything, Paul. Just do you
I
have
know you're a fan of points.
I think points are great. I don't know that I always do them right, but points programs are another means of keeping clients. Because as we've talked about before in business, it's much easier to keep a current client than it is to acquire a new client. And you can always upsell a current client much more easily than acquire a new client. So Rite Aid has wellness rewards and wellness plus and up rewards, which is their whole way. And if you get a certain number, then you could even get a gym membership, a magazine subscription, a fitness DVD. CVS has extra care rewards programs, which grants a 2% back in extra store bucks. That's, again, a really great incentive. And with Walgreens, they've jumped into the pool a little bit later, but they've brought in their balance reward points, and it's making a big splash as well. So we see this point program as another means of keeping your customers close.
Rebecca Harris is our business contributor, and again, she's the director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Rebecca, as always, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Paul. Stay well.
I'll try.
Okay.
This Thursday, September 26th, Essential Pittsburgh will host a public forum on the Affordable Care Act. The event will take place at the Community Broadcast Center. Doors will open at 5:30, and the public is invited. The forum will be recorded for broadcast and air October 1st on Essential Pittsburgh. Send your questions regarding what you would like to know about the Affordable Care Act to esspgh@wesa.fm. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.